Got a question. It's kind of a heavy question, but I got a question I want you to think about as we start out this morning. And the question is simply this: what do you want your life to be about? What do you want your life to be about? Back in 1998, the February edition of Reader's Digest told of a couple who took early retirement from their jobs in the northeastern United States. He was 59 and she was 51. And they moved to Punta Gorda, Florida, where the article said they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect seashells. Really? Is that what you want your one and only God-given life to end up being about? I mean, I imagine when these people die, this couple dies and they stand before Jesus and they go, "Jesus, look at my pretty seashells." Is that what you want your life to be about? Or do you want to have some stories to tell? When they drop you in the dirt, or wherever they drop you when you die, or sprinkle you, or whatever they do with you, when they do that, and they're walking away from that time, what do you want people to say? Do you want them to say, "He or she, they had the most amazing collection of seashells. He or she was an unbelievable golfer." Or do you want them to tell some stories about how God worked in and through you in mighty and amazing ways to touch the lives of others? What do you want your life to be about? Let me ask you another question this morning. And really think about this question. I've been thinking about this question all week. Here's the question: are you living a life that requires faith? Are you living a life that requires faith? Think back to the last week. Go back to last Monday through yesterday. Did your life require any faith? Good. Awesome. One of us is there. Did your life require any faith? Or could you have lived your life if you were an atheist? Ephesians 3:20 says that God can do immeasurably more than we ask or think or imagine. Do we really believe that? Are you living a life of faith based on that belief? Think about that for a minute. Are you living a life based on the belief that we worship, we serve, we follow a God that can do more than we can ever ask, imagine, or believe? What you believe about God and how you live in light of that belief will determine the impact you have and the legacy you leave. What you believe about God, what you really believe about God, not what you say you believe on Sunday, but what you really believe about God and how you live in light of that belief will determine the impact you have and the legacy you leave. Last week we started looking at the life of the Old Testament prophet Elisha. And for 4 weeks, we're looking at four stories from this man's amazing life. And today's story is found in 2 Kings chapter 3. Let me set the stage for you. King Joram was ruling over Israel when the king of Moab got tired of paying him a tax of lambs and wool. He got tired of that, so King Moab decided that he would rebel against King Joram. And this frightened King Joram, so he enlisted the help of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, and King Edom to help him out. Now, it's important to note that none of these kings at this moment were walking with God. But these three kings, they joined forces to do battle against the Moabites. Now, these three kings should have been easily able to get the victory. Three against one. It should have been an easy victory, but as is often true in life, things don't go as planned. Anyone here attest to that? Your best laid plans, right? And instead of easily winning the battle, the troops ended up wandering in the desert for 7 days where they ran completely out of water. Those armies were in a bad and seemingly impossible situation. Thousands of them in the desert, no water. They're literally getting to the point where they're almost dying of thirst. This was a situation that was clearly beyond their control. Have you ever been there? Here's the truth about life. No matter who you are, we all know this, there will be times in life when you will face a situation that is beyond your ability to deal with. A situation which only God can deal with. Have you been there? I'm sure you have. And when you face that kind of situation, here's something I want you to remember. Our greatest need becomes our greatest blessing when it drives us to depend on God. Our greatest need becomes our greatest blessing when it drives us to depend on God. And here are these armies. They're in the desert. They're getting thirsty. They're in a desperate situation. So King Jehoshaphat asked in verse 11 this: "Is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord?" Notice, these kings, again, they were not walking with God. And yet when they found themselves in trouble, what did they do? They turned to God. People are just like that. I have a friend, he's an atheist. I was having coffee with him recently, and he was telling me about another friend of his who got recently diagnosed with serious cancer, and he looked at me and said, "You need to pray for him." I said, "You're an atheist. How does that work?" But see, even in those moments when we know situations are beyond our control, what do? We turn to God. That's what these kings did. And King Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? To which an officer of the king of Israel answered, "Elijah the son of Shaphat is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." In other words, the guy that took over from Elijah is around here. And I'm sure that these kings had heard of some of the miracles that Elisha had done during his rookie year as prophet. He parted the Jordan River. He came to a polluted stream of water and he spoke to it, and the water was cleansed so people could drink. And when kids made fun of him, calling him Baldy, never a good thing to do to a prophet because the prophet lost his cool, called out a couple of bears who ripped the kids apart. That's in the Bible. There's a lesson there for us. Never make fun of a bald guy, right? Because you don't know how much faith he's got, and you don't know where a bear is, so watch out. So these three kings, they go looking for Elijah, and they found him. And Elijah said to them, "I like it. He's got some attitude. Why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father, the prophets of your mother." "No," the king of Israel answered, "because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab." Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve," I like that, "whom I serve," in other words, I'm serving him, not you, let's just get that straight right now. "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not pay any attention to you." King Joram's parents, Ahab and Jezebel, had ruthlessly persecuted Elisha's mentor, Elijah. And if you know anything about Old Testament prophets, they didn't have short-term memories, especially when it came to injustice. But because Elijah was still loyal to King Jehoshaphat, he decided that he would help out. And he began by making the most bizarre request. Look at verse 15. "Now bring me a harpist." Think about that. Three armies are in the middle of the desert. They're out of water. They're about to die of thirst. And Elijah wants some mood music. Actually, it wouldn't have been such a bizarre request in Elijah's day. because it was common back then for prophets to summon musicians who were trained to play background music. And it was a practice that was used to facilitate a prophet's sensitivity to the presence of God. And after Elijah got his background music, the word of the Lord began to flow from him. Look at verse 16, it says this. He then said, God's word, dig ditches all over this valley. Here's what will happen. You won't hear the wind, you won't see the rain, but this valley is going to fill up with water, and your army and your animals will drink their fill. Elijah confirmed to the kings that water would flow into the valley, that their armies and their animals would have plenty to drink. But first, do you notice? But first, they needed to dig some ditches. And I love verse 18. It says this. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, kings, you have no idea how powerful, how strong, how mighty our God is. At a snap of his fingers, he can bring the rain. And oh, by the way, he'll deliver King Moab and his army into your hands. That which was humanly impossible was absolutely nothing for God. But before God would supply the rain, they needed to dig some ditches. And I believe that there is a life lesson here for us. If we show God our faith, he will show us his faithfulness. If we will show God our faith, he will show us his faithfulness. Do you really think God needed those armies digging those ditches? Of course not. Elisha was saying to the kings, if you show God your faith, he will show you his faithfulness. Here's something for us to understand that I think we lose sight of in North American Christianity. Biblical faith doesn't involve just believing or thinking. Biblical faith involves action. Faith isn't just a state of mind. It is a course of action. As James says in James 2:26, faith without works is what? It's dead. Faith that is not accompanied by action is dead. Biblical faith involves action. It would have been great if the armies could have just sat in the desert thinking positive hydration thoughts, and suddenly the water would appear. But that's not how God operates. God wanted them to dig some ditches. Real faith involves action. And sometimes those actions don't make sense. Think about it. They're out there digging ditches in the desert. And they're asking themselves, why are we doing this? Because God said it would rain. They're in the desert. There's no sign of rain. There's no wind. There's no clouds. It doesn't make sense, but God said to do it, so we're going to do it. And here's what I think God is saying to us out of this story. If you really believe I'm going to do what I said I would do, then take a step of faith, no matter how crazy it looks. Show me your faith, and then I'll show you my faithfulness. In other words, only God can send the rain, but he expects us to dig some ditches. God said through his prophet that he would send the rain. And what the kings needed to do is, first of all, they needed to believe what God said. Then they needed to step out in faith. They needed to grab some shovels, and they needed to start digging. And I'd suggest to you that we need to do the same thing. We serve, we worship, we follow a God who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine or think. And we need to read God's word. We need to believe what God has said. And then we need to step out in faith. And we need to start digging some ditches. When we step out in faith, that's when we'll see God work in mighty and amazing ways. So here's my question. Do you have enough faith in God to dig a ditch? Do you have enough faith in God to dig a ditch? Abraham did. We talked about Abraham last week. Abraham, go. I won't tell you where you're going. Just go. Trust me. But Abraham, you got to take a step. And then I'll guide you. Noah, go build a boat. Hasn't rained? Don't worry about it. Go build a boat. There's no rivers. I know. Build the boat. Grab some nails. Grab some wood. Start building the boat. What about A.W. Milne, who we talked about last week? Remember? Went to that tribe who had killed every missionary beforehand. When he left, there was no darkness. When he came, there was no light. He took a step of faith, put his stuff in a coffin, put it on a boat. He dug a ditch, and then God worked. What about you? What ditches is God asking you to dig? Where is God waiting for you to take a step of faith? In a relationship, in your career, in your marriage, in your finances, in serving others, in your relationship with Jesus? Where is God waiting for you to take a step of faith? Where do you need to start digging some ditches? Because when we take the step of faith, when we start digging the ditches, God shows up. And then some pretty amazing and some mighty things can happen. God's word shows us that God's heart is for reconciliation and restoration of all things. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, God, I need you to perform a restorative miracle in my marriage. And you're waiting for God to act. And you're going, God, I've been praying. Why aren't you acting? What's going on? Where's the miracle? Only God can perform that restorative marriage miracle in your marriage. But you need to dig a ditch. You need to take a step of faith. What does that look like for you? God's word shows us many examples of God moving powerfully in people's lives. We see it over and over through Scripture. And maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, God, that's my heart's desire. I want to have you move powerfully through me. I want my life to be more than just about seashells. And you're waiting for God to make you into the next Billy Graham. Only God can move powerfully in and through your life, but you first need to dig a ditch. You need to take a step and start doing what God requires you to do, which is to walk humbly and to love mercy and to act justly. You need to step into that. You need to dig a ditch, and then watch what will happen. God's word says that if we give God our first and our best when it comes to our finances, he will bless the rest. And you're saying, God, I need a financial miracle from you. And you're waiting for God to give you the Lotto 649 numbers. And only God can provide that financial miracle. But you need to dig a ditch. You need to take a step of faith and begin to give generously according to God's word and God's principles. In God's word, Jesus promises us an abundant life in John 11. And you're saying, Jesus, my life is anything but abundant right now. And you're somehow expecting God magically to restore your life and give you this amazing abundant life. Yes, only God can give you the abundant life, but you need to dig a ditch. You need to take a step of faith. And God's word promises that he will direct our path. Maybe right now here this morning saying, God, I'm struggling about my future direction. And you're waiting on God. And every morning you look out at the sky expecting skywriting to be up there from God. And you're waiting. Only God can direct your path, but you need to dig a ditch. You need to take a step of faith. You need to start acknowledging God in all your life, as the Bible says. You see, when we show God our faith, he shows us his faithfulness. Maybe you're a single guy here this morning and you're saying, God, I know you want me to get married. Send me a wife. And you're sitting at home and you're waiting for some babe to knock at your door and say, hey, big stud, take me to church or lose me forever. Only God can send you the right lady. But single guy, you need to dig a ditch. You need to iron your shirt and sell your Xbox and go ask somebody out. Oh, sure, you clapped for that one. Never mind, I'm not saying it. Only God can send the rain. But here's the deal. He expects us to dig some ditches. Only God can send the rain, but he expects us to dig some ditches. Do you have enough faith in God to dig a ditch? The armies did. The clouds are non-existent. There is no wind. The sky is blue. The desert is hot. They're dying of thirst. And yet God said the rain would come when they dug a ditch, so they dug a ditch. And then God displayed his faithfulness. Look at verse 20. The next morning, about the time for the offering, the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom. The land was filled with water. The desert was filled with water. Folks, with God, nothing is impossible. That water gave life. That water was life-giving. Do you want to see our land, our city, our country, the San Joaquin Valley in Mexico, filled with water, filled with life? Don't you want to see God's justice and mercy flow into our city? Don't you want to see God's love and grace flood this city? Don't you want to see God's salvation roll over this city? Only God can bring his peace and his mercy and his love and his grace and his justice and his salvation. But he wants us to dig some ditches. And if we dig the ditches, God will send the rain. If we do what we can do, God will do what only God can do. And maybe in your life, you need to dig a ditch. And maybe in our lives collectively, we need to dig some ditches. If we want to see our land filled with life, we need to dig collectively some ditches. And as I shared with the other two services a few weeks ago, you missed out, but you're hearing it this morning. We need to collectively dig some ditches. And maybe part of what we need to be digging some ditches towards is creating some dream centers. What's a dream center, you ask? Good question. Glad you asked. Watch the video. And it all began by him digging a ditch. He said, I'm going to make a difference here. I'm going to dig a ditch. I'm just going to go door to door and ask people how I can serve them. And today, 20 years later, they have over 200 ministries operating out of the dream center. He dug a ditch, and God used that ditch to bless many people. In fact, their food bank started when one person took some food to one other person. They dug a ditch, did a small step of faith, and today that food bank, as you heard in the video, is giving out over 1 million pounds of food a month. When we do our part, God does his part. God wants to move, but first, he wants us to dig some ditches. And I was thinking this week, what if we said, church, we're going to dig a ditch? And we're going to make our homes a dream center. In other words, we're going to make our homes a place of help and compassion in our neighborhood. Imagine if each of our homes became outposts of God's hope and God's compassion. And we said, we're going to dig a ditch by making our home a lighthouse for God's hope, God's compassion in our neighborhood. In Colwood, in Langford, in Machosen, in Sydney, Central, Saanich, Victoria, Saanich, wherever. Imagine what could happen if we dug that ditch. God can do immeasurably more than we ask or think or imagine. We just need to dig some ditches and leave the rest up to Him. So let's go. And let's dig some ditches individually and collectively. Let's go dig ditches. Let's pray. Father, I pray You'll make everyone in this room a ditch digger. Father, may every one of us grab our shovel, know that You're an amazing God who can do more than we ask or imagine. Father, may we just simply do what You want us to do in our individual lives as a church. May we just grab the shovel and dig. And as we take that step of faith, God, pour out Your faithfulness, pour out Your power, pour out Your amazing acts. And let Your mercy, let Your justice, let Your peace, let Your salvation roll over this city. In Jesus' name, amen.